Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
27 minutes now to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. As the world continues to reel from the decisions taken in the White House and how the courts are reacting, we've seen the currencies react, but we here at home had our own sense of economic data to take a look at too. And that's the South African Reserve Bank, the governor and leader of the MPC, Lesetša Kganyago, announced another 25 basis points cut to the benchmark repo rate. That essentially means when the banks lend from the SARB, they charge them 7.25%. When you and I approach any of the commercial banks or credit providers in South Africa, our starting base when it comes to negotiating our interest rate is at 10.75%. Good news, and that's certainly what we believe for many consumers. But to help us analyze this a little further is James Turp, Head of Investment Strategy and Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Investments. James, such a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Guguletu. Great pleasure to speak to you too. Thanks for having me.
Likewise. It's been a while. But as you can imagine, I'm going to ask all things around fixed income as well and pop that in there on the back of this particular announcement. But before we get there, I'm quite keen just to get your immediate response to the SARB's MPC interest rate cut. Surely this is good news.
Of course it's good news, Gugu. And we were saying that they probably could have cut at the last MPC all the way back in March, were the world not such an uncertain and volatile place, which it still is, but everything has worked in the inflation's benefit. So inflation continuing lower oil prices, stronger and stable currency. And this meeting, not only was a 25 basis point cut, but a surprisingly dovish MPC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they use a vote count as a guidance mechanism to the market. And last time at the MPC, four of the six members said no change, two said 25 point cut back in March. This time round, it was five members calling 25 and one actually wanting 50. So that's quite strong signaling, I think, a quick change from what's been perceived as a hawkish central bank to now looks like a dove coming out of there.
Exactly. It definitely sounds like it, and especially the sentiment that we heard within the briefing today, and as you mentioned, the voting split. But let's zone into the particular metric that the SARB does take a look at, and that is our local inflation print. And I'm quite keen to get your thoughts. So, you know, the trend has shown that we have been dissipating slightly in terms of inflation. If I'm not mistaken, in April, we did see it soften ever so slightly. But there's a lot also that's happening, not only around the world with our trade relations, but even with the budget speech, the most recent one, 3.0, regarding the fuel levy and the concerns around inflation increasing there. How are you reading the analysis of the inflationary outlook?
Yeah, there was so much to talk about in that MPC meeting. So you're quite right. He starts off by focusing on uncertainty and that putting pressure on the potential for global growth, all coming from tariffs. Then in the next breath, he talks about the prospects for global inflation being a bit more complex and perhaps even causing lower inflation. So when it comes to the local economy, he talks about the risks to growth being balanced. Of course, they marked down growth from 1.7% at the last MPC to only 1.2% for 2025. So a marked reduction in their growth forecast. Mm. Then you've got their inflation forecast also taking reductions there to 3.2% this year from 3.6. Sure. So think about that. I mean, we came into this year expecting inflation to move up to around 6% at the end of this year. Mm. They've now got it averaging 3.9% at the end of the year. So that's a big reduction there. They spoke about the fuel levy, and they did say that even though the fuel levy is taken into consideration, the lower fuel price offsets that. So that's good news. They also say that in their last forecast, they had the VAT hike, which we know in the third attempt at the budget, eventually we got through with no VAT hike. Yes. So overall, and for the first time, I think in some time, they've said the risks to inflation now are balanced. So that's a marked reversal from constantly fearing inflation would be higher than their forecast. Mm-hmm. And that is underlined, of course, by, I think, the last year almost, the actual inflation has been lower than all than the average forecast, right, from economists. Excellent. So it's looking good.
Exactly. It definitely is looking good. And we certainly hope that we keep with these metrics despite some of the global threats that we still contend with. I want to pick up on three themes that you did mention. Number one, this really being a dovish speech, which does speak to the theme of trying to help to stimulate economic growth and really offering support to consumers. But could this have, I guess, some kind of influence even on the market front? We do see our currency slightly stronger. Any influence on the fixed income space and confidence that might be boosted there?
Yeah, definitely. And a great question, because that's what we do ultimately.
Yes.
And where we've been thinking the shorter end of the curve has been more appealing because of all the global uncertainty. And I'm not saying that's disappeared. But what we're seeing now is that the bond curve's reacting to this. Today had some good performance out of longer term investments in fixed income. So in general, this kind of, it's a boost of confidence, I think, across the curve for fixed income funds at this point, which is great for us. You know, we try and look after our investors, of course. So this is will be a great day for them. And overall, you know, looking at the context that the governor is giving, is that it's his ambition to get inflation down to around 3% ultimately. A big part of this MPC was talking about a lower inflation target in not only their objective in getting it officially lower, but now also in their process at the MPC meetings. They're going to consider in their models a 3% target and what that requires. And he gave quite an extensive discussion in the post-meeting Q&A, yes, where he spoke about the benefits of having this, and if they can get inflation expectations to 3%, that in turn will bring the interest rate down, in his words, to below 6%. So, I mean, in your opening, you spoke about 7.25% being where banks are borrowing. Imagine that being a full 1.25% to 1.5% lower, that could do ultimately. So it's a virtuous pursuit of getting that inflation target lower. It's not without its challenges, though. Having been part of this market in South Africa for some time, we know the currency is unpredictable, and we import a lot of inflation, at this point deflation, through the oil price. But, you know, we know administered prices, rates and taxes, those are always going up. So it's not a foregone conclusion, but the objective is good. And to get it down to 3%, if that's achievable, would be great for the economy.
It would be fantastic for the economy. I just did a quick search, and I'm not too sure if my maths is correct here and the figures and the data, but I do realize that the time when we actually reached historically low interest rates was back in July of 2020. 3.5% is actually what we saw in terms of the interest rate cuts there. And of course, the highs of the late 90s, where it was around 23%. There's a lot of dynamics that we need to consider, and I'm glad that you touched on this, James. We're optimistic about the outlook, but it does also speak to a very erratic and volatile environment that we obviously dealing with. Does this also, you know, seek to see some kind of interventions or alignment with additional economic policies and fiscal discipline that also needs to be exercised to get interest rates and inflation a lot lower?
You're quite right. And growth, ultimately. I mean, yes, we've heard the Reserve Bank in the past say, you know, that monetary policy as it's on its own can do very little for marginal economic growth. But in combination with fiscal prudence and the appropriate expansionary policy, that then you can have it working hand in hand. So they have said in the past, you know, it's not up to us to cut rates and build the economy. It's it has to go hand in hand with that, with a policy, as you correctly say. So You know, we've seen obviously in the budget that the intention is definitely there to reduce spending and to bring the debt ratio to our borrowing against what we're actually growing to get that lower. And so with all the intention there, that's good. And I think it is a boost of confidence that we've had this change of heart, at least from the central bank, that they're resuming cutting interest rates, and they're guiding for them to be even lower too, which is good news. They marked down their end of year level for the repo rate, so they in their model have it ending this year at 6.93%, which means there's potential for another cut and maybe even a fraction more on their mathematical model. So that is good news for consumers as well. It's that in their model it's moved a little bit lower from the last time too.
100%. Definitely exciting stuff here, James. I do want to shift to, I guess, just moving back to the global themes that we've been discussing. So good news for consumers. We are seeing our monetary policy respond in a manner that does favor our domestic environment whilst considering the international factors. But I can imagine when you reflect on the end of May, how the month of April started, it's been tumultuous, to say the least. I can imagine how you and your colleagues have been managing the stress on the trading floor and trading desk in the last 8 weeks. But I'm quite keen just to get your thoughts and observations from Liberation Day and the announcement of the tariffs to where we are now. We're aware of the shifts that we're seeing with the US courts on Donald Trump's move to actually implement tariffs and how that's been paused now. But I'm also keen just to zone in the fixed income space for a while. The US Treasuries, as we saw, did see a dip in terms of investment and capital flight. Where are we now, I beg your pardon, as the dust appears to settle, but the risk is still there? And does this also make emerging market fixed bonds, essentially like South Africa, a lot more attractive? Convoluted question, but I guess I just wanted to add the context given the amount of news flow that's happened in the last few weeks.
It's a great question, Gugu. And that's, you know, I'm just looking here at some charts going back to Liberation Day. You'll think I'm, you know, someone from another planet would think you're crazy.
Really?
The currency was at 1993 to the dollar, and it's now at 1780, let's call it. That's an 11% difference from that move only a month ago, really. So 2 months ago, let's say, at the beginning. But that's a huge volatile move. The same for fixed income. If we look at what bond yields did, we're now a full 1% lower on our yield curve. And so, I mean, these, the funny thing is, though, is it went up and down the same magnitude. It's really the quintessential roller coaster for investment markets this year. And it seems to be settling down. I mean, just it's hard to absorb all these changes, but we woke up with the news of the court ruling on tariffs being being illegal, and the market initially we saw U.S. equity markets up 2% this morning, as implied by the futures market. We're now back to pretty much square on the day. Bonds, on the other hand, in global bonds, opened up weaker. And then they've recovered and turned around, and yields lower internationally. Also, some weaker US data out today.
Sure.
So the question is, do we look appealing now? We're seeing anecdotally that some of the move today came from foreign investors, we're hearing, buying our bonds, buying our longer dated bonds with yields as high as 11.5%. That, if you're targeting 3% inflation, is hard to resist, you would think. Of course, it's all about fiscal policy at the end of the day and the confidence we've got in the economy growing. Well, we're getting a step in the right direction, arguably, with a lower inflation target, but are we able to grow? And with that growth being reduced 1.5% next year and 1.8% in 2027, that's not really going to be enough to get those bond yields down considerably. But with those yields where they are, they've got to look attractive, particularly the ones sort of 10, 15 years out, I would say. So, yeah, I think this inflation target development and the speed it seems at which it's happening will make our yields stand out to global investors.
Oh, fantastic news. Let's continue to put in the necessary efforts. I get it. It needs all hands on deck, as you mentioned, because growth is also something that certainly needs to be not just stimulated, but bolstered ahead for South Africa to succeed. James, thank you so much for your time. I enjoy talking to you. Feels like Investment School 101. So thank you for the overview of the trends and themes we've seen in the last month.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks again for having me, Gugu. Nice to catch up. Cheers.
Likewise. James Terp, Head of Investment Strategy and Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Investments, helping us not only unpack the great 25 basis points cut that we see from the South African Reserve Bank. Essentially, if you're a South African with some kind of debt with the bank, expect a very flattering SMS to share this announcement with you. It essentially means the cost of the loan and the credit and the interest that you pay on it is a little lower. So some good news for us there.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.